Mark's going to come and read to us and pray for us, Mark.
I'm going to be reading from Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 30 tonight. And while y'all are turning, just once again, would like to welcome everyone. And thank Brother Donnie for traveling all this way to come and preach to us our 27th annual conference. Chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we are that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now I have a small article here written by Pastor David Edmondson that Brother Milton put in our bulletin a few weeks ago, and it was written about this verse 28, and he starts out by verse 28 again. I want to read it again. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And Brother Edmondson goes on to write, do all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his plan? No. The word used in this wonderful verse is purpose. I hear people often talk about God's plan for salvation or God's plan for your life. But God has never planned anything, but purposes all things. All things work together for the good of God's people, and it is according to his purpose. Yeah. And he goes on to write, men make plans, but God does everything on purpose. And he gives a couple of examples, and we all know how our plans change all the time. Everybody does. And he goes on to write, the word plan means a proposal for doing or achieving something. But Psalm 115, verse 3 says, our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. God does not make proposals. He makes promises on purpose. And they all, always come to pass.
Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, we are so thankful for this beautiful day that you've given us, Lord, and we thank you for this opportunity that you've allowed all of us to come together, gather together tonight, Lord, to hear your word preached, Lord. We thank you for Brother Donnie, that you brought him here to preach to us tonight. We ask you to be with him, Lord, as he preaches your word to us tonight. Be with each one of us and open up our hearts and give us ears to hear and to hear your word tonight. Just put it in our heart tonight, Lord. Lord, we pray for all the ones that we have talked about that are sick and hurting, Lord. You know their needs, Lord, and we pray for each one of them. All the safe travel that you've given us this week, Lord, and all the ones that be traveling later this week, Lord, we pray for safety. Lord, once again, we ask you to be with us tonight. Be with Brother Donnie as he preaches to us, and just guard, guide, direct us, and help us to give you all praise, honor, and glory tonight, Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Again, Brother Donnie Bell, Lantana Grace Church, Crossville, Tennessee. Brother, may the Lord bless you.
All right, open your Bibles. What a delight it is to be here again and see so many old friends, see some folks from other churches come and visit with us. What a blessing. And can't never go wrong reading Romans 8. Can't never go wrong doing that. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And look in verse 13 with me. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, to to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now, the title of my message this evening is Four Great Themes. Four great themes out of these verses that I read today. You know, when you read the Bible, you're confronted with election. It's there. It's everywhere. Election is a blessed, blessed truth. And when we're confronted with it, if we're honest with God, we have to agree with it. But there's also a people here, it talks about there in verse 11, that God sends them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, didn't receive the love of the truth. And then he goes on to say, after he said all of that, after they were deceived by Satan, God sends them a strong delusion. I mean, he does it. And that they should believe a lie. You know how many people believe a lie every Sunday? How many people are preaching a lie tonight? And I preached a lie for a long time until God had mercy on me and opened my heart to the truth. I'm not immune to that. But God had mercy on me. But we love these blessed truths. Chosen. Elect. Vessels of mercy, predestinated. I love that word, predestinated. Not something to be afraid of. And all of them are Bible words. God's people have loved them, and they learned them, and they know what they mean, and they rejoice in what they mean. And I've got four themes, and the first one is this. There in verse 13, it says, "From the beginning God hath chosen you to salvation." And that's why one of my first theme is this: God hath chosen. God done it. You know, and we're not ashamed of that. There's a lot of things that I would be ashamed of, but one thing I'm not ashamed of is God's electing grace. God saving His people, choosing His people. They didn't choose Him, He chose them. And we're not ashamed of that, that God hath chosen us. And chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And let me give you four things about election. First of all, it's true. Election is true. Our Lord Jesus Christ said in John 15:16, He said, "Know you not, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I chose you. I ordained you." And our Lord Jesus Christ, His Scriptures tells us that He went up unto a high mountain and called unto Him whom He would. And let me show you something in Matthew 24. I saw this here a while back preaching on election. In Matthew 24, I want you to see this. I think this will be a blessing to you. I hope it will. Matthew 24. You know, everybody says that's the end time message back there. Well, it's just going to be the beginning for us. If I never get there, Matthew 24. Look what our Master said here. Look what He said here in verse 22. "Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." And look down verse 24. "For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." So there's election twice here. Look over here in verse 31. "And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds of heaven." So election's true. It's a blessed, wonderful truth. And I tell you, our Lord Jesus Christ said it like this: "Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Me." Now, John 6:37, you all know these verses. That our Lord Jesus Christ said, "All that the Father gives Me, all of, shall come to Me. And him that cometh to Me, I will no wise cast out." What does He mean? need not cast you out. There's nothing we'll say, nothing we'll do, nothing we can ever do to make Christ stop from loving us and choosing us. We can't undo election no more than we can do our new birth. But I tell you what, and he said this, and he said, and all they shall come to me, for I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him hath everlasting life. So election, oh my goodness, God hath chosen you. It's true. What a blessed thing it is. True. It's true. Second thing about election is this. It's eternal. It's eternal. God didn't look down through time and say, well, I know that fellow there is going to believe, and I know that fellow there is going to be dedicated, and I know that fellow over there, that woman's going to be real devoted, so I'm going to choose them. No, no. God has from the beginning chosen you. Now let me tell you about two beginnings. There was the beginning in Genesis 1 when God said, in the beginning. But what was before, going on before God said there was a beginning? So God from the beginning chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He hath from the beginning chosen you. You read it tonight. For whom he did foreknow, have this intimate knowledge of, acquaintance with. For them he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate. And them he did predestinate, he also called. So I tell you, beloved, there never was a time, if I can say it like this, never was a time we weren't chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. You know, the grace was given us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Paul said it like this, and you know he was a mean man. He was a junkyard dog mean man until God saved him. Oh, he's a mean man. Cruel man, wicked man, God-hating man, Christ-rejecting man. And then one day God put him in the dust, brought him down. And you know what he said years later? He said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by His grace. Oh, you know, he'd been out here killing Christians, and then all of a sudden he said, God, who, when it pleased God to call me from my mother's womb. Then he said, oh, listen, God knew Paul before he was ever put in his mother's womb. And I tell you what, look over in Romans. You know, look in, no, wait a minute, that's not where I want to go. Let me just tell you this. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, the same was in the beginning with God. And all things that was made were made by Him. And in Him is life. Life. And beloved, we've had life and chosen in Christ before you and I ever even exist. Before the world ever existed. Before God ever put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. That's how long we've been chosen of God. Huh? That's a long time, ain't it? Eternal. We talk about eternity past and eternity future. Well, everything's future to us. But when you talk about eternity, there's no end and no beginning. There's no past and there's no present. There's no future. It's just eternity. And ever how old God is, that's how old eternity is. There was a time was nothing but Him, and He said, I'm going to choose me a people. I'm going to populate the earth, and I'm going to put one man on it. And that man's going to rebel against me, and I'm going to punish him and run him out of the Garden of Eden. But I've got another man before I ever made that man. And this was a man that, I tell you what, my beloved son, and I'm going to put him in the womb of a virgin. And he's going to go down there, and he's going to die for a particular people. I gave them people to Him before the foundation of the world. He was willing to go. He is willing to face all their obligations, willing to face their judgment, willing to face their damnation, willing to face everything that they're supposed to face before God. And I tell you what, He came down here because we were God's elect. We didn't become elect when he came. He came because we were his elect. And I'll tell you something else about election. Not only is it true and eternal, but it's personal. What does it say there? Have chosen you. How many times have you wondered how in the world could God have anything to do with me? There's not a person in this building that hasn't went through that time and time and time again in their life. How in the world could God have anything to do with somebody like me? Well, I'll tell you how he did it. In Christ. He has chosen you. Election is personal. Election, he chooses people. You know, God wrote the names, all the names of his people in the Lamb's Book of Life before this world was ever done. And I'll tell you something, he didn't write down numbers. He wrote down names. And you know, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to go so far as to say this. I was born on February the 9th, 1950. And God said, there's a time that I'm going to have Don Bell to be born. Where I'd be born, who my parents would be, what the color of my hair, eyes would be, what the color of my hair would be, what my stature would be. He chose everything about me. And he chose my name. And you know why? Because it's already written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So I had to come into this world and I had to come at the time God said, and I had to live a certain life to get to the place where Christ would make himself known to me, and he made it known to me because I was one of God's elect. Chosen you. Oh, there's a chosen people. He wrote down names, not numbers. Wrote down names, not numbers. Jeremiah, you know what he said to Jeremiah? He said, Jeremiah, before I ever formed you in the belly, I knew you. I knew you. Here's the fourth thing about election. Not only is it true and eternal and personal, but election's unto salvation. Look what it says there. God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation. You know now, election is unto salvation. Now what do I mean by that? Election itself is not salvation. I was elect before I was ever saved. My belief in election didn't save me. No. He chose us unto salvation and redemption. Our belief in election didn't save us. And our belief in the redemption of Christ didn't save us. We were saved because we were redeemed, and because we were chosen. You know, everything that our salvation is entirely outside of ourselves. Huh? Outside of ourselves and completely objective. I didn't know election was in the Bible when I first started reading the Bible. I didn't know it was in there. I didn't have a clue it was in there. But boy, when I did find out, woo-wee! He'd done something for me. I tell you, he really done something for me. Like old Scott Richardson, he run across to a track called Election by Spurgeon. He said, I read that and preached it until folks finally figured out what I said, and then he said they run me off and I had to go start another word. Oh, you're thinking everybody rejoices in election with you when you find out about it. But we're chosen unto salvation. Now, why was I saved? Why did God come and save me? First of all, because Christ stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's our redemption. That's our payment price for our sin. And secondly, we were chosen. So that guarantees not only that we're going to be saved, it's because of what Christ did back there and because of the election. Now, I'll tell you, beloved, I do know this. I don't know. There may be people not even born yet. They may live, it may be 50 years down the road. God will cross their path with the gospel. You know why? Because they were chosen. God's elect. Huh? And I'll tell you, two infallible marks of election. Look what they say here in verse 13. Chosen you to salvation. Listen to this. Sanctification of the Spirit. Now, I'm not one of these fellas that thinks you're going to get better by being sanctified. I don't believe that. If that's so, man, I'd be so good now. I'd be so good I couldn't stand myself. But that's not the way it is. What it is, beloved, sanctification just means to be set apart. Set apart. It's just like the vessels in the tabernacle. Everybody had the same kind of vessels in their home. Bowls and spoons and snuffers. But you know what made them holy in the tabernacle? God said He separated them for Himself. And what makes us sanctified, what makes us holy, is God set us apart for Himself. We're set apart to Him. And I tell you what, my flesh is no better today than it was when I first started. And then it's sanctification of the Spirit. You read it tonight. He says, you know that if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. And we have the Spirit of Christ. And then look what else it says, belief of the truth. Belief of the truth. And that word belief of the truth, that means also the love of the truth. Love of the truth. That we believe the truth. The truth. We're not looking for some pie in the sky. Something. We believe the truth. And the truth, look what he says down here in verse 10 of chapter 13 here. Where Paul's talking to these people, and he said, they with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth. Now, beloved, do you love the truth? You want the truth. You've got to have the truth. If there's truth to be found, I want to be where it's at. And I tell you, sin says, I will. Sanctification. And the word of truth says, not my will, but thine be done. Thine be done. So I tell you, election, that's the first great thing. Here's the second great thing. Look down here in verse 14. Whereunto He called you by our gospel. He called you. You see, election is a salvation. Christ is salvation. Christ is salvation. And no one, let me tell you this, no one is saved unwillingly. No one is forced into the kingdom of God. But I do know this, that in the day of it, there has to be a force put towards us to make us come. In the day of His power, His people are made willing. And He said over in Psalm 65:4, He said, blessed is the man whom Thou choosest and causest to approach unto Thee. And beloved, you know, Noah went into the ark willing, if I say it like this. God said, Noah, come thou into the ark. He didn't say, go into the ark. He said, come thou into the ark. Why did He say, come thou into the ark? Because God was in there. Christ was in there. Salvation was in there. And that's what God tells us about Christ. Salvation's here. Life's here. Truth's here. Hope's here. Glory's here. And He calls you. Oh my. I told him over Joseph here. My father-in-law was 75 years old when God saved him. He'd been in lots and lots and lots of meetings. He'd heard Henry Mahan preach, I don't know how many times. Scott Richardson. Maurice Montgomery, Don Forker, Milton. Milton's been played guitars with him and sung with him. He'd come to meet in a while and leave a while. Come to meet in a while and leave a while. He told us one time, he told my mother-in-law one time, if they ever find out what an awful sinner you are, I said, they'll run you away from the church. I said, don't you know that's what we're here for? There ain't nothing else but sinners here. But oh, he regretted those things. But to make a long story short, he's sitting on the second pew. And I preached, you know, that the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear shall hear. I got through preaching, getting ready to get out of the pulpit, and he jumped up. He said, Donnie. He said, I heard that voice today. That whole congregation went to squalling and they'd been praying for him, and oh my goodness, it was just one of the most wonderful experiences I ever had. But God called him. God called him. Now, could he have refused to come when God called him? Huh? That's what we're talking about. Nobody comes unwillingly. Everybody that comes, comes gladly, comes willingly, comes thankfully. Huh? If God hadn't called me, we wouldn't have come. He calls us, he calls us before we call on Him. He comes to us before we ever come to Him. And when He said, Noah, come thou into the ark, I want to be where Christ is, don't you? That's why we want to go to glory, to be with Christ. And I tell you, He calls His people to Himself. You read it. Them He foreknew, He also called. And our Lord has no unbelieving people. They may not have heard the gospel yet. But I tell you, one of the dangerous thing that happens is people try to give comfort to people that they love without them ever hearing the gospel. Don't never do that. Don't never give any comfort to anybody. Listen, the only person that can give comfort to us, a whole soul that's in trouble, is God Himself. Huh? Oh my. I remember a lady was under great, great conviction. Oh my goodness, it's 35, 38 years ago. And folks come to me and say, boy, you need to talk to her. You need to talk to her. You need to talk to her. She said, she's having an awful time. I said, I ain't going to talk to her, and don't you talk to her.
Yeah.
Leave her alone. A sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost has made him so. And you know when she believed the truth? When everybody left her alone, she was shut up with nothing but the gospel, shut up with nobody but the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody had to tell her. Nobody had to talk to her. We're not soul winners. We're not advising people how to get into the kingdom of God. Not teaching them how to pray the sinner's prayer. That's the only kind of prayer I've ever prayed, a sinner's prayer. I've never prayed anything else but a sinner's prayer. Have you? I'm telling you, you know. And I tell you what, don't never give comfort to somebody, say, you know. It's what he said, we attain the gospel by hearing the word by hearing the gospel. And that's the next thing I got to say here. He called you by our gospel. The gospel. Look with me over here in 1 Thessalonians 1. Oh, the gospel. The gospel. God sends the Holy Ghost to save men by His Word, by His gospel. He said, look here in verse 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved of God, your election, of God. How did He know their election? How did He know it? Well, He said, our gospel came. That's the first way I know. The gospel came to where you was. The gospel came to you. You didn't come to the gospel came to you. And watch what He said. And not only in word only. I'm using words. Words is what we use to communicate. Words are vehicles of thought. You won't know what I'm thinking unless I tell you. And you. And so words are vehicles of communication, vehicles of thought. And so He said, our gospel came not unto you just in words, but it came in power. It came in such power. It came into your mind. It's like it's come into your mind with such power. It slew it. It come into your heart with such power. It laid it bare. It come into your will and broke it. It come into your soul and laid it in the dust. It come into your free will and said, "Were you going to give it up?" And I tell you what, when He comes in power, I mean He comes in such power that you only thing you can say is, "I surrender." Oh, He comes in power. Power. And when He comes in power, I tell you, He gets hold of your mind. He changes your mind, such power. Changes your attitude. Changes your eyesight. Changes your hearing. Changes your faith. Changes your beliefs. I mean, it comes in such power, it blows up your little old playhouse that you had, and when it tore it all down. and started building you on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And all this, and not only that, but it came in the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God brought it to you. The Spirit of God brought it to you. And then it said in much assurance. You know what that much assurance means? That what you're hearing, you know is so. You know is true. That much assurance means that yes, it comes in such power, comes by the Holy Ghost that you say, that's it. That's it. That's the truth. That's it. I believe that. That's what I need. That's what I want right there. Huh? And so all time, I tell you what, beloved, the gospel. Thank God for the gospel. Thank God for men who crossed our paths with the gospel. No wonder that Isaiah said, how beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of them that publisheth glad tidings of peace. Good tidings of peace. Well, I bet when Milton walks up into this pulpit, he's got beautiful feet. When I watch men walk up into the pulpit there at home, I said, look at them beautiful feet walking up there. They're going to get up there and bring me good tidings. They're going up there and bring peace to me. They're going up there and tell me about how peace is established through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my. All right. Let me give you the third thing. That's two great themes. Called you by our gospel. Here's the third one. Down in verse 16. Here's the third great thing. Now our Lord Jesus Christ, I love when it says this about Him, Himself. Our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Himself. Not somebody else. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And God, even our Father. Now what did it say about them? It said which hath loved us. It loved us. Oh, loved us? Oh, my. He hath loved you with an everlasting love, and with cords of loving kindness have I drawn thee. And all hath loved us. God doesn't love like people do. You've all seen them stupid things that people say, you know, God made mothers because He couldn't be everywhere at the same time, you know. But oh my, God hath loved us, and He loved us with an everlasting love. And people's love wax and wane, hot and cold. But God's love is always constant. If He loved you, He's always loved you. And if He loves you, He'll never stop loving you. And His love is like Himself. It's eternal. It's glorious. It's precious. How can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Would Thou devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Well, might the Son hide the mighty Maker God's face is that He loved us like this. And God doesn't love like people do. Our Lord Jesus Christ has said about Him in John 13:1, having loved His own which were in the world, and that's where we are, He loved them to the end. You know, one of these days, bless His name, we're going to love Him with an unsinning heart. We're going to love Him without this flesh to contend with. But we sang that song, there is a name I love to hear, I love to sing His word. And the last, you know, Jesus loves me. You know, He has loved Him. How do we know He loved us? We love Him. We love Him is because He, I always stop on this, let them sing it themselves, because He first loved us. First loved us. You know, look in Romans 9. Let's look at this together here in Romans 9. You know, people people say all the time, well, my God doesn't do this and my God doesn't do that. So I'm sure they don't. But the God of the Bible does it. You read it, you know, it's in that bulletin from David. You know, our God's in the heavens. He had done whatsoever He pleased. He does whatever He pleases in the earth, in the sea, in all deep places. He does according to His will in the army of heaven. And ain't nobody going to stay His hand or ask Him what you're doing. And I tell you what, beloved, He loved His own. And He prayed for us in John 17. He said, I pray for them. I don't pray for the world. I pray for them that Thou hast given me. Father, keep them that Thou hast given me. And look what He said here in verse 11, Romans chapter 9. For the children, being not yet born, talking about Jacob and Esau, neither having done any good or done anything evil, hadn't even been born, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth. It was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger. Now listen to this. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. People say, well, that means God just loved him less. That's not what it says. That's not what it says. It said He hated him. Hated him. I can understand. Mr. Spurgeon said, I can understand God hating Esau. But I find it hard to understand why God would love Jacob or anybody else. That's the thing. You know. And then people say, well, that ain't fair. That ain't right. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. You know, men want to set in judgment on God and tell Him how He ought to do things and how He ought not do things. If He said, I love a man, thank God that He loves somebody. If He wants to hate a man, that's His privilege. There, I just read it to you. He's going to send some a strong delusion to believe a lie. So that's the... And here's the thing about it. Why wasn't we in that bunch that believed? We was born believing a lie. Why didn't we continue? But God loved us. Loved us. And He loves us. Never stopped loving us. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. And God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God Himself, and God our Father. You all remember, when they came to get the Lord Jesus Christ out of Gethsemane? And they came out there with about 500 men. They had torches and they had sticks and they had clubs and they was like they was going to come out and take a whole army on. They went out there to go get the Lord Jesus Christ. And He asked, you know, who are you looking for? Jesus and Nazareth. He said, I'm He. Well, they all fell backwards. It shocked them. I mean, you know it. But they got back up. Who are you looking for? I've done told you. I'm Jesus of Nazareth. And they took Him and He said, now, if you take me, these got to be let go. You can't get me and them at the same time. And beloved, if you got me, that's what God says. Christ said, our Father said, I've got Him. You all get to go free. I got Him. Oh, I got Him. All right, let me show you this last one here. Down here in verse 16. I hope I haven't preached too long. Oh, what a wondrous thing that God would even love us. There in verse 16, not only did He love us, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. How many times did it say the Lord Jesus Christ Himself? Himself. And God, even our Father, which hath loved us. And that word hath means that everything about our salvation is in the past tense. In the past tense. And listen to this, not only loved us, but hath given us an everlasting consolation. An everlasting consolation. Now, do you know what a consolation? They looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to come, and they said they was looking for the consolation of Israel. They're talking about the Messiah, the Lord Jesus coming, the Christ coming. And to console somebody means to comfort. It means to console. And you know, when people, they had all them tornadoes at home, people goes around trying to console one another, comfort one another. console them and comfort them. If somebody lose somebody, we've got to go and console them and comfort them. Well, God, He said He hath given us everlasting consolation. As long as God is, that's how long our consolation is, how long our comfort is. And what comforts you, what consoles you when you stand before God, when you're dealing with the truth, when you're dealing with yourself? I'll tell you what comforts me and consoles me. That all my sins are gone. Huh? Not only forgiven, not blessed God, He forgave us of our sins. God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. But He also said at the same time that He put away all our sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And you know why? When God said, I will not remember their sin against them no more. So, beloved, you're talking about comfort. You're talking about consolation. That when God said, I don't even remember their sins, and He cast them behind His back, cast them into the depths of the sea, that your sins are gone. Y'all sing that little chorus. Did you hear what Jesus said to me? They're all... You know, they're all taken away. Where'd they go? Christ took them away. Christ took them away. I don't have them anymore. Oh, you say, well, don't you feel like a sinner? Oh, I do. Oh, I do. I do. Do you sin? Oh, I do. I do. I do. Oh, Lord have mercy, I do. But God said, I don't have any. And what God says is what counts. And that's what faith is all about. Believing what God said. Now, you're talking about consolation. And I'll tell you another thing. It comforts me, it consoles me. Justified. Justified. Justification starts in heaven. Justification means that, beloved, when you face God, you got nothing against you. When you face the law, you got nothing against you. When you face the moral law, when you face the angels, you face the devil, you face the scriptures, you face anything, and there's no condemnation. You read it. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. When's the last time you read that and it says tomorrow or the next day or yesterday? Every time you read it, it always says now. I just turned 70 years old. I know I don't act it. I look like it, but I don't act it. But you know, I tell you something. Beloved, I'm as justified as I'm ever going to be. I'm as justified as I'm ever going to be. When you go into a court of law, and we're not talking about an acquittal here, that you got a crime against you and they don't have enough jurors to convict you. God had all the evidence He needed to send us all to hell. And He had all the goods on us. But He took us into His court of law, took us at His judgment seat. And the Lord Jesus Christ, God, He delivered Him up for all of our offenses. And He was buried and He was risen again for our justification. So now when I stand before God, I'm justified. I'm not acquitted. I've never done anything wrong. God Himself said He's a justified man. Well, if you'd have read the next verse there after, you said, what shall we say into these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? It's God that justified us. You know, that's why we're not afraid, you know, not afraid to face the Lord. I've seen lots of folks die. I saw my own wife die. And she died with confidence. She kind of died with hope. She died without any fear. She wasn't afraid to go and face God. Why is that? Because we have a substitute. We have a Savior. We have one, and beloved, what He did satisfied God for all time and eternity. And so God cannot hold anything against us. If my sins was on Christ, they can't be on me. If God condemned Christ, He lets me go free and justifies me for believing on Christ. Ah, dear. dear brother, dear brother, dear brother. He'd get ready to go home, and his wife told him, said, Ed, the Lord's going to come for you soon. He said, I wish he'd hurry up. Wish he'd hurry up. I tell you, not only justified, but here's another thing that comforts and consoles us. We're accepted in the Beloved. I'm not accepted in a lot of places. There's places in America, country clubs, and places I wouldn't be accepted. They'd throw me, show me to the door. I couldn't get in the White House. Show me to the door. But I tell you where I am accepted. I'm accepted before God. I'm accepted in Christ. I've been accepted of God, accepted in the Beloved. Huh? And here's the thing about it. God is so glorious and so wondrous and so big and so mighty and so majestic that He does that for a multitude that no man can number at the same time. Huh? And I'll tell you something else that John, oh my, what a comfort, consolation. We're righteous. We're righteous. Oh my. You have the very righteousness of Christ Himself. Jehovah's the King, you, the Lord, our righteousness. And that's another thing. I'm as righteous as I'm ever going to be. I'll be no more righteous in heaven than I am right now. And you won't either. You won't either. Death ain't going to change you. If you're righteous when you die, you'll be righteous when you face Christ. People seem to think that death changes people's nature and standing before God. That don't do it.
No,
no. And you know, and that's what's another thing that makes us so looking forward to go. When we get there, we're going to be we're as righteous now as we'll ever be. Our position, our standing before God will not change. Geographical location will change. And then fourthly and fifthly, let me tell you this, we're complete. Complete in Christ. Perfect in Christ. Complete in Christ. And oh my. And when He says, giving us an everlasting consolation, that everlasting means it never, never, never changes. My position before Christ will never change. You know why? Because He never changes. Never changes. And then look here, what else it says, and then I'm going to wind this thing up. He has given us an everlasting consolation and a good hope. How do you get that good hope? Grace. Grace gave it to you. Oh, good hope through grace. Oh my, everything God does for us is because of His grace. Wonderful, wonderful grace. Matchless grace of Jesus. Everything spiritual that we have, everything spiritual that we know, everything we possess, everything we know, everything we have, spiritual, is because of grace. And what a good hope we have. Huh? Grace, grace, and more grace. Grace upon grace. The foundation stone, grace. Take the top stone and put it up on the building and say, shout to it, grace, grace. Grace, grace, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And all this is given. That's why it's called grace. It's given. You know, He said He gave us an everlasting consolation. Everything we have is grace. And our hope is good. You know why it's good? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, through His blessed death and righteousness and ascension, obtained for us not only a good hope, but a blessed hope, a wondrous hope. Thank God for a good hope. I will quit, but I'll tell you this. Years ago, I spent 18 months in hospitals when I came back from Vietnam. And spent the last 4.5, almost 5 months in the Philadelphia Naval Hospital in Philadelphia. And I came back, and you talk about somebody didn't have any hope. You talk about hopeless. I was hopeless. I mean, I was hopeless. I did not have any hope that I'd ever, ever be any better, that anything would ever change for me. Death, I thought, would be the best thing for me to happen. And then somebody told me about the Lord Jesus Christ one day. Just to hear His name mentioned lit a fire in my heart. Just to hear His name mentioned. And from there, I'm here. Now that's what you call grace. Amazing grace. A good hope through grace. Huh? Not only now did I not have any hope, now I've got a good one. Thank you all very much. I hope I didn't wear you out.
I want us to stand. And let's sing that chorus that Donnie was talking about. Did you hear what Jesus said to me? They're all taken away. Did you hear what Jesus said to me? They're all taken away, away. My sins forgiven, my guilt is gone. They're all taken away. They're all taken away, away. They're all taken away. My sins are all taken away.